Well, as a matter of fact, that's just what we're going to preach on tonight. Amen. Turn in your Bibles into the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number one. Philippians chapter number one. The sad thing about it is most times we preach a message like this, we're preaching to the choir. Amen. But if you will get fired up and if you will get invigorated and if you will just get stirred by the Word of God, it'll have an effect on other people around you. Amen. That's the thing about God's Word. That's the thing about Christianity. Amen. It's not about who I am or what I do. It's about who I live for and who I talk about. Amen. And that's what wins people to Christ. That was what Paul told people wherever he went. That's what caused division. That's what caused riots in Philippi and in Galatia and every place that he went. It was because he was telling people there was another hope. There was another name. There was another one that could make a change in their life, and they didn't have to follow a cunningly devised fables of man any longer. They didn't have to worship the gods of stone and wood any longer, but praise God, they could worship the living God, and they could find out that the living God would touch their hearts and make a change that only he could make, because he was the one that created that old sinful body that they live in. I tell you what, let's stand tonight. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't on Sunday night. Let's just stand tonight. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 9. In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness that are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Brother L, would you take us tonight into the throne of grace? You may be seated. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on sincere Christians. Look around you tonight and you can see a handful of sincere Christians. They're the folks that you see on a Sunday morning, but you see them on Sunday night. Amen. They're the folks that you see on Sunday, but you see them on Wednesday. They're the folks that you see out at the grocery store and they're praising God and talking about the things and the goodness that God has bestowed upon their life, just like they did when they was in church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. They're the folks that go down to the job and they won't do the things that are wrong. Sometimes at work and sometimes I think on any job, they want you to lie and fudge the truth a little bit, but they don't even bother fooling with me about that. I tell them the truth will stand when the world's on fire, amen. I'm not lying to cover up something. I'm not going to lie to make your deal look a little better or your reports sound a little more embellished. We're going to stand on the truth, and praise God, I'm glad that the truth of God will always stand, amen. But, you know, God, the sincere Christians are those that are growing. Look in verse number 9. He said, in this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Praise God. I'm glad that in Christ Jesus we grow. Amen. I'm glad that those who are born again, those who are washed in the blood and are blood bought and know that they're blood bought, they have a desire to grow and to become closer unto the Lord. If you're no closer to God than you was the day you got saved, you've got a problem. Amen. You're not growing. You're not abounding. Your life isn't showing anything, any signs of spiritual life in it whatsoever. And he said in verse number 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. How can you be filled with the fruits of righteousness? Amen. If you're not sincere towards God. What are the fruits of righteousness? I believe they're the same thing as the fruits of the Spirit. They're evidences. Amen. Of what God has done. Back here, where is it? Galatians. Chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The things that exude, the things that mark the Christian life. Amen. When people speak ill of you and you want to punch them in the nose, you don't. You say, bless you in the name of Jesus. That's meekness. Amen. When people pluck your last nerve and you want to punch them in the nose and you don't, amen, that's long-suffering, amen. When people treat you badly, and no matter how bad they treat you, and you want to punch them in the nose, you do something good for them anyway. That's goodness. Amen. You see, the fruits of the Spirit are those things that evidence themselves in the fact that you go contrary to what the carnal nature of man is, and you live a life that is representative of Christ and of the sufferings and of the sacrifice that He made for us as He laid down His life willingly. He looked at those who had tormented Him, those who had scourged Him, those who had abused Him physically. And as they nailed Him to the old rugged cross and He lifted them up high, He said, "Father, forgive them." Amen. That's the fruits of righteousness. But how do we grow? And how do we be filled with these fruits unless we become sincere in our desire? Look at what He said there in verse number 10, that you may approve things that are excellent. You might have spiritual discernment. You might have spiritual wisdom in the things that you choose to do and the choices that you make. That you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. He wants us to grow. He wants us to have discernment. He wants us to have these spiritual gifts and these spiritual fruits. That in sincerity, we might be without offense. The only way that we're ever going to live a life without offense, without being an offense to the world. Now, they can accuse us, and they can condemn us, and they can do whatever they want to do. But it's not because of an offense. It's because they're offended in us. Amen? Do you understand that? Christians who practice and who follow Christ throughout history have been killed simply for being Christians. Not because they offended anyone, but because someone offended them in their walk with Christ. Look what's happening over there with ISIS and the Christians that they capture. These Christians haven't done anything to ISIS, but ISIS are offending them in the way they are treating them, in the way they are dealing with them. We see that our life is going to be an offense to the world, not because we stand up and we openly choose to be offensive to the world, but because it's contrary to the world, and the world is offended, and because they're offended, they offend God's people. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? You know, just being a Christian isn't what He's talking about. Being a Christian, we're contrary to the world. Amen. What would He say over there in Romans chapter number 8? He said the carnal mind, the carnal life is enmity with God. And it can't be spiritual because there's enmity there. There's a rift there. And the Christian in the world is going to be an offense to the world simply because of the life that we live. But we're not an offense because we set out to be an offense. We don't set out to offend the world. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I want you to be clear on this. Amen? I'm not saying that we're not to live a Christian life, but we're going to be an offense to the world just because we're Christ and we're contrary to the world. But I'm saying, you know, people talk about confrontational soul winning. I don't personally believe in that term, confrontational soul winning. Amen. You might bully somebody into saying something, but I don't know that it really does any good. As a matter of fact, I was sharing the other night, I think in the men's group, I think it was, that in right now in Kurdistan, a group of Christians that are working there are finding a problem because of some of these confrontational soul-winning Christians coming there and trying to force Christianity down the throat of these young people in these refugee camps and in these places where they have just returned from being abused and being molested and being treated in such horrible ways by groups such as ISIS. And they're trying to force Christianity down their throat. And one of the leaders of the Kurdish nation, of the Kurdish people, said that Christianity that is doing this is no better than ISIS. And when you stop and think about it, they have a very valid point. You can't shove something down someone's throat. Amen. You can't shove Christianity down an individual's life and make them be a Christian. They have to come to that place by themselves. Amen. They have to realize their need and realize God's love and His gift of love to them and ask Him into their hearts. But we need to be sincere in everything that we do. Five things about sincerity that I just thought about as I was reading this and studying and looking at just being sincere. Five things that the Bible teaches us in sincerity that we need to have, that we will be without offense. And I'm not worried about offending the world as much as I'm worried about offending my Savior. Amen. That we might be without offense in until the day of Christ. I want Him to look at my life and one day say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I got this for you to do." Whatever it might be. Amen. I don't have to be a ruler over many. I can be a doorkeeper at the house of God. Amen. And be just happy. But first, in Romans chapter 10, the Bible teaches us we need to be sincere in our relationship. We have a lot of people that profess Christ Jesus as their Savior, but you would never know, you would never realize outside of church on Sunday morning that they belong to Him. Amen. Their life doesn't prove their sincerity in a relationship. Their life has no evidence that they ever asked Christ Jesus into their heart. As salvation is a very simple thing. Realizing and believing that we're sinners and that we deserve to die and go to hell, but that God loved us and sent His Son to die for us. And because of that, He tells us in Romans chapter 10, He said, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." I'm glad for those simple verses that we use in helping folks to understand how to be saved. It's as simple as being sincere in our heart and believing from our heart. Not a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. Amen. When God gets a hold of your heart, He's got a hold of your being. And when you believe that from your heart, and you confess that with your mouth, it's a sincere, I believe it's a sincere prayer, an earnest prayer. I like Amber, a little sister. I call her a little sister. I've called her a little sister for a long time. But I remember when she was real little, she made a profession of faith. I remember a lot of young kids, they make these professions of faith, and they're taught how to get saved from in our Sunday school. We teach them from real little. You don't believe it? Go sit in my wife. She's got the first class. Go sit in her Sunday school class. And you'll realize that she teaches little ones about how Jesus loves them and how He died for them. And our goal and our purpose is to teach our little ones how to be saved. Amen? And we teach them how to be saved, and sometimes at a very young age, they make a profession of faith because they want to please mom and dad. They want to please grandma and grandpa. They want to please Pastor Dennis. They want to please the Sunday school teacher. And they make these professions of faith. I'll call her little sister. She'll be 90 walking on a walker. Amen. If I'm still alive, I'll still be calling her little sister. But Amber, one day, I forget just how old she was, but I think it was on a Wednesday night service, and we was taking testimonies or one of our Sunday night worship service, and she raised her hand, and she wanted to give a testimony. She said, you know, when I was younger, I said that I had got saved, but I never really had any peace about that. She said, but the other night, and I love this, she said, the other night, me and Jesus had a little talk. Amen. Hey, amen. Do you remember that? Me and Jesus had a little talk, and we made everything all right. You know what the difference was? This time she was sincere. Amen. This time she was earnest. This time it came from the heart, because the heart realized her condition. Her heart realized the need. And her heart realized the only hope she had was in Jesus. And praise God, she knew enough to call on his name and get saved. The problem in our churches today is we got so many Christians, and I hate it when people do this, don't you? We got so many so-called Christians, amen, in quotes, that it's hard to separate the sheep from the goats. Amen. So many want to call themselves Christians, but their life bear no fruit. Their life bears no witness. They haven't grown. They're just doing the same things that they have. Now, you know, when people come, I'm not a judge on whether somebody gets saved or not. I have all kinds of people come and talk to me, and they'll kneel down. I have people come. We had a fellow here just a few weeks ago. Hey, he was going through a problem, and he knelt in my office, and he asked Jesus to save him. I don't know how sincere he was. Sometimes it takes people a while just to realize that there has to be this change. It's not like somebody flips a switch, and automatically it happens in everybody's life, especially those who haven't been raised in the house of God. But I know one thing, the fruit tells the story. The fruit tells the tale. In the end, are they sincere in a relationship? Are they growing? That you may abound. I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. And do they know more about the Lord than they did before? Do they make spiritual judgments and decisions based on the fact that Jesus now dwells in their heart? I tell you what we need in our churches more than we need more Christians. We need more sincere Christians. People who really are sincere about worship in Jesus. And if we have that, we'll see a sincerity in the purity of their hearts. We'll see a sincerity and a difference in their life. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, or you can just listen while I read it. He says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leavening leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, did you get what Paul was saying there? Probably not. It's just words that went over your head. Leaven in the Bible, leaven in the Word of God is always a picture of sin. Amen? That's why when they came and they offered the sacrifice at the tabernacle, it was always with unleavened bread. Amen? No leavening was to be found, especially during the time of the Passover. It was the unleavened bread. It represented a sinlessness. And he said, now you've come and we need to purge out the old leaven. Amen. We need to get the old sin out of our life, because we are the unleavened bread that's coming to offer ourselves unto God. Our Passover, our sacrifice. He said, now purge out therefore the old leaven. Amen. We need to get real about this thing. We need to get earnest about our Christian walk, our Christian life. We need to get earnest about living for Jesus. Purge out therefore the old leaven. We need to keep them old sins out of our life. We need to remember that the old man is dead. Amen. The old man was left behind. And we need to live as the new man, that you may be a new lump. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad the old man is dead. Amen. Some people, I heard a fellow say down at camp last summer, they say the old man is dead, but I tell you what, that sucker keeps trying to resurrect himself. Amen. I got to keep pushing him under. I got to keep him buried and keep him where he belongs, that you may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for, because Christ was sinless. And he requires a sinless sacrifice. He wants a sinless, what did Paul say? That I can present you as chaste virgins. Amen? That's the church he's talking about. Sinless, pure, without leaven, without anything hindering. Therefore, keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. Don't even let the new leaven slip in. The new things that could hinder, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. We need to be sincere in our daily lives. Because we don't live unto ourselves, we live our lives unto the Lord. We don't live to satisfy this flesh, we live to satisfy the God that sent his Son to die on an old rugged cross, the one that gave the ultimate sacrifice. Is it too big a sacrifice for us to give up some of the things in this world that we need to surrender and get sincere about living a life that says, I'm a Christian? Amen. Quiet bunch tonight. But folks, we need to be sincere. Amen. We got too many phony Christians. Christians in name, but not in birth. We got too many lackadaisical Christians. Amen. Too many loose Christians that aren't sincere enough to put away and to crucify some of the things of this world and to keep the old man where he needs to be, that the new man can grow into the image that Christ would have him to be. If we get sincere in the purity of our heart, if we get sincere in keeping sin out of our life, it's a job. Amen? It's a job. Your eyes cause you to sin. This thing here, my lands are in an altar. You put all the altars in all the churches in the world together, there wouldn't be an altar long enough to handle that sucker. Amen? It causes you to sin. Amen? Let me tell you what, down in here, sometimes when we don't keep Christ in the right place, it causes us to sin. Amen? It changes our desires. I told folks most of the time, most of my sin never leaves the inside of me. The majority of the sin that I sin never gets on the outside. Jesus said, if you think it on the inside, it's just as bad as doing it on the outside. Right. Amen. And most of the sins that I commit, and you know it's true, you know you're standing there talking to somebody with a big old smile, a big old chessy cat smile on your face, and you're telling them how happy you are to see them, and on the inside say, man, I just like to, hey, brother, how happy I am for your business. And on the inside, man, I'd like to drive you back out the door. Hey, man, you know what I'm talking about. I don't try to be phony and fake. Amen. And we know we're all that way. We know we all have those things. Amen. And it pops through. But, you know, we need to be sincere about the purity of our heart, about the purity of our life. And if we get sincere about the purity of our life, we'll be sincere about our service unto God. Joshua, in Joshua 24, he told the children of Israel one of his last proclamations to them. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." Amen. He didn't say serve him half-heartedly. He didn't say serve him when it's convenient. He didn't say, serve him when you feel like it. Praise God, let me tell you something. If we only come to church when we feel like it, half the time we wouldn't make it here. Amen. I get home from work on Wednesday night. Sometimes I'm shot. I told Elle the other night, I said, I got to go to Franklin. He says, you have to go? Well, I wanted to go, but it was going to be a have to because I'd missed so many things that they'd had. I felt obligated to be there. I felt like I had to go. And then I get a call just a little bit before quitting time. Say, guess what? Great-grandbaby's having a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese. I said, but I got to go to church. Yeah, but this is the great-grandbaby. And she's having a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese. And she wants to see Poppy the Great. Amen. And guess where Poppy the Great was at 6 o'clock? Amen. The Chuck E. Cheese. Guess where Poppy the Great didn't want to be at 6 o'clock? Amen. And then guess where I was just a little bit after 7? I was at Franklin. Amen. Not that it was that easy to be there, but praise God, we had to be there. It was something that we'd done from sincerity of heart. We went to see our granddaughter from sincerity of heart. We went to worship with these folks, our sister church that was having their missions conference. And it was from sincerity of heart. And he said, in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And you know what the problem is? Sometimes we got too many other things to serve. We got the grass god. Amen. Oh, the grass has got to be mowed. Amen. You know, we got the car god. Oh, we got to wash and wax the car. And we know that's not true in my case. Amen. If any of you feel like worshiping the car, you can come and wash it and wax it for me anytime you feel like it. Amen. An automobile is just a tool. Amen. They all wind up the same place. Sooner or later, they're all scrap iron. Amen. But we try to take care of them while we got them. But I don't worship. But some folks do. Amen. We worship. Brother Danny Hill said one time, he said, I believe the world have a new golden calf, only now it's green and has John Deere on it. Amen. We see so many things that take away our time. So many things that can keep us from worshiping God. Amen. I'm glad sometimes them gods get put on the back corner and other things get more important. Amen. Sometimes we got to charge the batteries and jump them and get them going. Amen. Some folks know what I'm talking about. Amen. Because serving God becomes important. Serving God becomes... I had to mow part of my garden down yesterday. I just got so disgusted looking at it. It was, still producing. I just mowed it. It just made me sick to look at it when I seen the weeds. Amen. The grass had done got that tall. I had so many things going on. I can't worship it. Amen. There's too many other things to do. We can have all kinds of things, and we can make all kinds of excuses, and we can put all kinds of other gods before God. And your life is no busier than my life. Your things to do are no more important than my things to do. But let's put away the gods that keep us. Amen? Let's put away the excuses that keep us from serving God, from worshiping God. Amen. Not only do they keep us from serving God, they keep us from coming to worship God. Amen? Well, I can't go to worship that God because I got to worship this God. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying. You got your gods. Amen. You got your gods. I don't know what they are. But when they keep you from the house of God, when they keep you from doing what God requires of you, then praise God, you need to get rid of them. You need to leave them on the other side. You need to leave them behind you where they belong. And you need to not let anything hinder you in serving God and living for God and glorifying God with your very existence and in everything you do. When people look at you, they should say, man, that one there, whenever I see them, seems like they're always doing something for the Lord. Always doing something for Jesus. He said, and in sincerity, we need to serve Him. Amen. Paul said here in Philippians, he said that we may be sincere and without offense. If we serve God sincerely and in sincerity and with a sincere heart, praise God, we won't be standing offending Him on the day of judgment. Amen. We won't be standing before the judgment seat of Christ ashamed because we had other gods that we had to take time off to serve rather than serving Him. And lastly, we need to be sincere in our witness. Amen. You wouldn't believe how many times people tell me that they don't need to come to church. They don't need that. They've seen too many people that go to, well, they've seen them so-called Christians. Amen. They come to church on Sunday morning. Most of them had to drag here and out of some ungodly place that they was on Saturday night. Some folks, you know, they want to come from the bar on Saturday night and come to the church on Sunday morning and think everything's all right. It's the truth. And you know it's the truth. Amen. I don't understand why they think that they're fooling anybody when you're never going to fool God. You don't fool the world that's looking at you. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 12, he said, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. With simplicity and godly sincerity. What's that mean? He means he takes his relationship with God real. Amen. He takes it seriously. In simplicity and godly sincerity. My man, if he was willing to die for me, if he was willing to suffer for me, if he was willing to do everything he did for me, can't I just live a little bit for him? Paul said, my testimony, my witness, the things that people can say about me in this world, was I live my life in simplicity and godly sincerity. Paul didn't go around begging for money. Probably the greatest preacher outside of Jesus Christ that ever walked the face of the earth was the Apostle Paul. The greatest evangelist, the greatest pastor, the greatest teacher that we have recorded in history outside of Jesus, I believe was the Apostle Paul. Amen. And you wouldn't see Paul running around in a fancy suit if he lived today. You wouldn't see Paul riding around in fancy cars. He said in simplicity. In simplicity. He didn't have to have a limousine to usher him and folks to drive him and an entourage to follow him around and to see to his needs and to meet his needs. Paul said, I lived in simplicity. My life was to uplift Christ. My goal was for people to see me. And when they see me, to see Christ, Brother L. I like what David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the ungodly. Amen. I'd rather be just a simple man. I'd rather him take everything from me if it's going to distract from my life being a witness and a testimony to him and his life. I'd rather him take everything I have and leave me a pauper than to let it distract from living a life that's pleasing unto him. A life that glorifies and emulates Him. A life that's not afraid to take everything it has and use it to His glory. Paul said, look, he said, my life before you and my life before the world is in godly sincerity. Not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. We've had our conversation in this world, and the more abundantly to you were. The world knows it because they see it. The church is aware of it because they're closer to Him. But in sincerity. And then in Titus, he tells Titus to remind the church, to remind the folks there in the church Crete some things. He says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. You know what he said right there? He said, let the things that you profess to believe in doctrine be lived in sincerity. Amen? It's one thing to say, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in living for the Lord. I believe in living a holy life. And then living like every other ungodly individual. He says, in sincerity. He says, when you live your life sincerely, those that are the contrary part, those that are in the world, will be ashamed to even condemn you for the life that you live. So the question tonight for each one of us as we stand to our feet and bow our heads.